Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy.
All right. We are in part six of this Built for Battle series, and today I'm going to talk about one of my favorite passages. It's a lot of text, so we're going to read it, but say this: praise brings victory. Now, there have been times I've been walking in the victory that someone else's praise got me. We used to sing a song, "Get out of my way and let me praise him," because, you know, the person next to you is going to get blessed. But I had to learn that it's my praise, too. My praise, because the enemy will come to you when you're sad and when you're lonely and when you're hurting, and he will try to lock up your mouth. And I've been talking about these battles and these weapons, and, you know, we'll do a review here in a minute, just real quick, run through it, and then we're going to get into the text. Because I read this, and it doesn't matter how many times I read a same passage of scripture, I always get something out of it, and I'm encouraged by it. And I've had to go to that passage that I'm going to read to you in the dark night of the soul, and you guys have walked through a couple of them with me. But in 2020, we were all isolated, stuck at home in our houses with, you know, constraints and restrictions and all of that. And I was just like, I have a choice to either sit here and watch the madness on TV, which I don't, or I can shut all that off and do the one thing that I know is going to carry me through to victory. And it was praise. Just praise the Lord. Just worship the Lord. During that time, I wrote a wisdom love letter to the staff, and I wanted to read a piece of it to you, and then we're going to get into the text, because it was right in the middle of the most painful season of my life. And I wrote, "When troubles hit, some people focus on what the devil is doing and sink into despair. They lose their shout of praise and miss what God is doing in the waiting. All too often, their stories become victim stories instead of victory stories. And instead of magnifying God and giving him praise, they blame him and magnify the devil." We have a choice of who and what we magnify in the trial, and it will determine whether we sink or soar. Those who flourish amid troubles praise God in advance for turning their test into a testimony. You know that in the middle of your test, you got to get it in your head. This is, God's working this into a powerful testimony. And they say hindsight's 20/20. Well, it is. You look back and you go, wow, God, you did all that with that. Because he doesn't waste your pain. These people construct an uplifting story that's beneficial to others going through trials. Their victory story fuels their faith and the faith of others. They know that God is working in the waiting and there are more victories ahead. The difficulties and challenges are opportunities for God to show himself strong on their behalf. And even though they may prefer that God choose to work another way, they trust his infinite wisdom and submit to his refining process. They decide to cooperate with God and not waste the lesson, the tools, the wealth of insight and godly character they can only acquire through the fire of adversity. My beloved, you too may be in a painful season, and I encourage you to lift your voice. Lift your voice in praise and thanksgiving to God. You can rejoice right now knowing he's purifying your faith. He's producing a myriad of testimonies and good things in your life. As you watch and praise, just wait and see what he will do with that. That was a word that I had to live out and I had to walk out. And you know, many times I was preaching myself out. I'm like, you got to do this. You can't just write this to your staff, right? You can't just say this stuff. You actually have to do this. And these words were holding me accountable for showing up and continuing to open my mouth in praise to the Lord when all it seemed like all my world was crashing down around me. And I don't know where you are today, that you may be in a season where you're doing great. Praise Him in this great season. But don't forget that every one of us go through trials where it seems like we're being hit from every side. I know we were on Wednesday night learning about different seasons. And, you know, I have a friend that's definitely in a winter season right now. And I'm in the spring where things are starting to, you know, happen and grow and all of these things. And we can be in two different seasons as families, as friends. And I want you to encourage those who it looks like they're just being pruned back to nothing. They're in a season where they feel stumped. It doesn't seem like anything that is in the Bible that's good is going on for them. And encourage them to keep their praise, because this is where your victory is. And so my first point today is that here in this passage in 2 Chronicles, God's people are surrounded by enemy armies, and they're greatly outnumbered. And King Jehoshaphat, he's young, by the way, he's very young, and he's taken over the kingdom. And he hears the bad news and is facing war. We're all going to have bad news come at us, but this was really bad. Instead of utilizing natural weapons first, he calls a fast. That's a weapon. Remember? The word of God, a faith-wrapped battle seed, the name and the blood of Jesus. We're going to see all of it right here. Fasting, your authority. So the first thing he does is he calls a fast. And he begins to pray. Weapon. Fasting and prayer. So here in the Old Testament, we're seeing what I've been teaching you. In this passage, you're going to see everything. The name of Jesus. Short of the blood, because that had not been spilled yet. But he does everything that we need to do, except for we have the blood of Jesus. They had the blood of bulls and goats. And they had, you know, priestly perfection that they could call upon, but we're in a better covenant. We can look at, amen, I got a good amen. We're in a better covenant. But it worked for them. So his first response, watch this, was to seek God and utilize spiritual weapons before natural weapons. So he gathers his army, and he tells them what's going on, but then he calls a fast, he begins to pray, and then he gathers the people and requires them to do the same thing. So victors always utilize spiritual weapons before natural weapons. And I'm trying to get you to think like that. Okay, bad news comes, what do? You pray. Bad news comes, we call on the name of the Lord. We magnify the name of the Lord. Sometimes we fast, we start to pray. But we go, we deal with things different. Instead of going into worry, oh no, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? There is a responsibility that we have, right? But it's like, Lord, what are we going to do in this situation? I need divine guidance. And so we set aside all of the worry and everything else, and we go and we start to seek God. Watch what he does. 2 Chronicles 21, and this is a lot of scripture, but we're going to get through it. After this, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and with them, the Munites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. It was told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude has come against you from beyond the Dead Sea, from Edom. And behold, they are in Hazazon, don't judge me, Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. Then Jehoshaphat feared and set himself determinedly as his vital need to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast in all of Judah. And Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord, yearning for him with all their desire. So that's the first thing I want you to see. Many families, when trouble hits, they start fighting, they start fussing instead of coming together. You need to gather together. The enemy in 2020 just really hit our gathering. Tried to shut our gathering down. You know why? Because there's power when we gather. Amen. There is a corporate anointing when we gather. And they all came. So that's the first thing. And then secondly, Jehoshaphat calls the people out of their homes and into the house of God for corporate prayer. They obeyed and all got together. If we're going to win the battle for our family, cities, and nations, we must do the same. We've got to get together in prayer and get unified. That's why this house will always be a house of prayer. Yeah? We've gotten lazy. I'll just be blunt. We've gotten, many people have gotten lazy in the body of Christ, and they'll just shoot or text a prayer request to somebody else to do their praying for them. Well, some days I wish I had me a B3 Hammond organ player. You know, they got one of those things now that you can just plug in. It's electric, and you go. It's true, though. Right? We're becoming really lazy in the way we do battle, and I'm trying to encourage you and also you a little bit, right? You have to learn how to get hold of God yourself. It's great. Mama Didi is fierce, and the prayer team is fierce. We have a great prayer team here, and they will pray. It's good to get agreement. But listen, folks, you need to get together and gather the family together in your own home and get them to praying. Amen? I always say the couple that prays together stays together, and so thank God we have a house like that. So this is important. Spiritual weapons, fasting, prayer, gathering together. Now watch what happens. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah, in verse 5, and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. So he's reminding himself, are not you this person? It's not like he's asking God to answer him, but he's like, it's almost like, hey, wait a minute. Are you not the God of heaven? And in your hand is all power and might. See? Nobody is able to withstand against you. Sometimes you need to talk to your own soul. You need to talk to God in front of your family and go, wait a minute, you're sovereign over all. Amen? And then he says, did not you, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if evil comes upon us, the sword of judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you. Watch here. Another weapon. For your name and the symbol of your presence is in this house, and cry to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. That's powerful. That's why our emphasis is always the presence of God in this house. I never wanted to lead a church that was like a tomb, cold and empty and rigid, right? We sing with passion. We love his presence. It's as long as we continue to foster through gathering and through worship and praise, you will always have a house that you can come to and say, Lord, I can get in that house and I can stand in that house before your face because your presence is there and your name is there. And whatever I'm going through, I know you will hear me. Amen? I'm thankful for this house. I don't know about all the rest of you, but I love Soul Harvest. I love what we have built here. Amen? I see us in this story. And then the third thing Jehoshaphat did is he declares the power, the might, and the rulership of Almighty God, and then reminds him of his word. You see all the weapons operating here? He also declares that they will shout praise to God when they are in trouble. And he makes a faithful declaration that the people will believe that God will hear and save them. You know, our children need to hear that. Let's go to church. God's going to hear us, and he's going to save us, and he's going to make something happen, right? Let's get together, and our children need to hear that coming from our mouth. Oh, no, what are we going to do? Oh, my God. No, listen, you need to build confidence within them that even as little children, that when we go to church and the saints begin to sing and there's prayer there, God's going to move on our behalf. Because his name is there and his presence is there and he hears and he saves. Amen. I'm starting to act Pentecostal. Y'all better give me a holler back. So what happens is because they were together, because they were unified and they were calling on the name of the Lord, God sends a prophetic word to them through a young man named Jehaziel, and he begins to prophesy. This is what happens. The Spirit of the Lord will come on someone, and then they begin to speak what God is saying. And the Lord says through the prophet, don't worry, I will handle this battle for you. Stand your ground and watch me save you. You know, people often miss the voice of God because they're too lazy or lethargic to get to the corporate meeting. And I believe God can give you a word at home in your pajamas, but there's, you know, because he's done it for me. But we miss things, yeah? Because there's a prophetic anointing when we come together. And it's one thing to hear about it. It's another thing to be there, yeah? To be in that. It only takes one word from God to catapult you to victory. There has been services I fought hell to get to church. And my kids. Notice I separated them from hell. I fought all kinds of things coming against us to get into the house of the Lord. And I was tired and I just pressed through. But once I got there, once I got in that anointing, it shifted for us. And that's what it is so important. So here they're doing this. Now in verse 10 it says, and now behold the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they turned from and did not destroy. So the Lord told them, leave them there. The Lord wouldn't let them to destroy them. You know, God saved some victories for us. He could have drove them out then. How many of you wish God would get rid of all your enemies right now and you'd never see them again? They were not antagonistic toward them at that time, but when they saw them flourishing, when they saw them multiplying, when they saw God start to bless them, when they saw what God was doing for them, now they rise up. And I think God just saves some things because he's just like, I'm going to bless you in front of your enemies. And yeah, there's going to be some people that are going to get jealous. And yeah, there's some people that are going to talk about you. There's some people that are going to come against you. But if you'll keep your praise, I'm going to do something for you in front of everybody else that's going to blow your mind. And this is what's going on. Verse 11, behold, they reward us by coming out to drive us out of, watch, your possession, which you have given us to inherit. He's saying all the right stuff. He didn't say our possessions. You notice that capital Y? Isn't that cool? He's turning everything back to the Lord. He's basically saying, look, this is your stuff. And they're coming against us, but they're coming against what's yours. I love this language because you know how many times I've told the Lord, these are your kids. I'm going to help a parent right now. Not my kids, these kids you gave me. Right? My house, my stuff. I can't tell you how many times I've said to the Lord, Lord, they're coming against your stuff. This is all yours, right? I wanted you to see that in the text because that's very specific coming from Jehoshaphat. It's very easy when you become a king and you start to rule over things and you've earned and acquired all this possession with the power and the skill and the wisdom and the might of God to start to say, Lord, you know, the enemy's coming against all my stuff, my wife, my kids, my this. I gave all of that to the Lord years ago. I'm a steward. They belong to him. The house belongs to him. Yeah? Because God will always protect what's his. Don't preach another message, Verna. Come back to the text. Come back to the text. Really important point to see there, though. So, in verse 12, he says, O our God, will you not exercise judgment upon them? For we have no might. And this is just a statement. It's not a statement of powerless, but he's being realistic. We have no might to stand against this great company that is coming against us. Watch. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. That right there is powerful. Lord, all this that is being fought for right now It all belongs to you, and I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. Yeah? So many times, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to get in the corporate anointing. I know you're going to speak to me. I know you deliver. I know you save. I need you to protect your stuff. Yeah? Watch this. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their children and their wives. Oh, God. They brought the kids. You got to get the kids together. Get the whole family together. Everybody came. Everyone. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Hearken, all Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat. The Lord says this to you, be not afraid or dismayed at this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Watch. "Tomorrow, go down to them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the ravine before the wilderness of Jeruel." So he's given them their specific location, and he's saying, you're not going to run from this. You're going to go face them. But God's going to win the battle for you, right? So there's just some things you cannot run away from. You got to get up. And you got to go there feeling weak and insecure and outnumbered, but you got to show up. You got to face it in the power and the strength of the Lord, because God's about ready to do something that is so beyond you that only he would get the glory for it, right? But get ready for some crazy instructions, because God don't fight like we do. Well, he don't have us fight like other people do. Let's say it like that. So Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground. All of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping him. So here we have it. We have worship. We have fasting. We have prayer. We have lifting up the name of Jesus, the authority of God. We have the word of God, right? I love it. And some Levites of the Kohathites, the Korahites, stood up to praise all these ites, man. Praise the Lord and the God of Israel with, watch, a very loud voice. I love it. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established." Faith. "Believe and remain steadfast to his prophets, and you will prosper." Here it is, the word of the Lord. Okay? They had the Torah, but they didn't have what we have. So the word of the Lord would come through the prophets. But again, I'm rehearsing. All of these are weapons. All of these are spiritual weapons, and not one sword has been pulled yet. Nothing has been done in terms of natural military strategy. It says, "When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers to sing to the Lord and praise him in their holy priestly garments. And as they went out before the army, saying, 'Give thanks to the Lord,'" I tell everybody who I ever counsel, you cannot be having a negative, toxic meltdown and be praising and thanking God at the same time. It is literally impossible to do. You get to choose. I just want you to get the feeling of this, okay? They're outnumbered. He's already said, we have no power against this group of people. We know we're going to get slaughtered unless you help us, Lord. Can you imagine how the little kids are feeling? Oh my God, do we really trust these leaders? They're going to sing a song, really? And these are the people that are going to lead our lives, right? Our land is in jeopardy. Our lives are in jeopardy. Our moms and dads, everything is in jeopardy. And they're going to sing a song. "Give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were self-slaughtered. Ooh. For suspecting betrayal, the men of Ammon and Moab rose against those of Mount Seir. Watch this. They thought they betrayed them, so now they start turning on each other. I love it. I wish I'd been there to see this. Utterly destroying them. And when they had made an end of the men of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. Hello. Okay. And when Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked at the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and more and none had escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take the spoil, they found among them much cattle, goods, garments, and precious things, which they took for themselves, watch this, more than they could carry away, so much they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. I've heard this preached so many ways, but one of the things I've experienced in my own life is in these kinds of battles, there's always a spoil. There's always a reward. There's always more than enough that comes after a battle like this. And I love this part. It says, on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka. Now, you got to understand, this was also known as the Valley of Tears. This for many nations that fought, or little kingdoms that fought in this area, this was a valley of slaughter. So it kind of had a name attached to it, the Valley of Tears. And they gathered there, because here's where they won. A place that had become a place of disappointment and depression and death and destruction for so many other kingdoms. You don't survive this with that many nations coming against you. This is that valley experience, family, where that without God, you're going to end up here permanently. And this is where God chooses to give them the ultimate victory, who I feel the anointing. And they didn't just sweep through there and get the stuff and forget and get all focused on the stuff. Ooh, look what God gave me. Look how. No. They gathered there and they began to worship the Lord. There's something precious. There's a praise and there's a worship that is so precious. Where your eyes are not on all the prize anymore. It's on what he did for you there. And they turned it, they renamed it the Valley of Blessing. I look back on those places that the enemy wanted me to name the Valley of Tears. And I look back and I go, that's my Valley of Baraka. That became my Valley of Blessing. It's that place where the Lord did so much in my life that I could never deny him ever again. There's not a storm, there's not a battle that I will face or have faced or ever will face, that I can't go back to that place. So many of you are, I see you right now going. Some of you are wiping tears from your face. But there is history that gets forged with God in these places. And I love this passage because we can glean from it. If you've not experienced what I'm talking about, trust me, you will. But there's things that we need to learn from this. I love in verse 27, and I'm almost done. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, Jehoshaphat leading them to Jerusalem, watch this, with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with harps, lyres, and trumpets, with praise. And where'd they go? Did they go to the bank? Did they go to the marketplace? No. And so many people, family, they get a victory and they disappear. I see so many people come in and their lives are broken. And they're desperate. And they're like, Pastor, pray for me. And they're all in because they're in the valley. They're in, and then all of a sudden the Lord begins to move in their life and they get blessed. And where'd they go? They're gone. Until the next storm comes, and then they're all back in here. Again, you know, like, pray me through it. Get me through it. God, they're crying out to God. That's a good thing. But don't forget the Lord. Amen? Don't forget him. And I love that they praised before the victory. They praised in the victory. They praised after the victory. And when they got back home, they went to church. And they said, well, they just didn't stop. And watch this. And the fear of God came upon all the kingdoms of Israel, or all the kingdoms of those countries, when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for God gave him rest round about. Rest on every side. Oh. There are people watching your life. And it's inevitable. I mean, people are always going to be like, I knew that was going to happen to them. And da, 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 you know, like, there's always the naysayers. I just shut them all down. I'm like, just watch long enough. You're going to be afraid of the God inside of me sooner or later. Mm-hmm. Amen? Sooner or later, you're going to have to shut your mouth, because he's going to show up and show out so big that I couldn't have bought myself out of it. I couldn't have talked myself out of it. I couldn't have fought myself out of it. I couldn't have blocked my way out of it. You know what I'm saying? I would if I had tried. But God is going to do it for me because I love him and I trust him, and I'm a woman of worship and I'm a woman of praise. And one day, your own lips are going to shame your face. And you won't have nothing else to say except for, ooh, she bad. We need to step back, because you know what? God, if God be for her, who could be against her? Amen? Yeah. Ooh, just acting like myself this morning. It's all good. I'm going to end on this today, but this is the last point I want to review. What do you do before the battle? You do what they did. You pray, you fast, you gather your people. You declare God's word. It just looks the very same for us, okay? That's what we do. And then during the battle, you got to sing praises to God. And as you do, you may not see all that is happening, but I'm telling you, angels are going to work on your behalf. The Lord is doing things. I mean, the Lord will send confusion into the enemy's camp. He will. And another thing, your praise baffles. It literally confuses the enemy, because he's like, why are they praising? I've tried this and I've tried that and I've now tried this and they won't shut up. Why do they keep praising? It just sends confusion into the enemy's camp. So I just want to encourage you to keep doing it. And then after the battle, God's people gathered the spoils of war and celebrated their victory with more praise in the house of the Lord. And we've got to do the same thing. So just be encouraged. I want to tell you this, that nothing, there is no thing that the devil tries to do to you that will overcome you if you will release praise. I've learned it. You're either going to be overcome or you are going to overcome. I just want you to say this, Lord, I praise you. I praise you. You know, the kids know this. I filled the house with praise. I still do. I usually have some YouTube video going with some kind of jazz, you know, whatever in the mornings. But I'm praying. I'm singing in the spirit. I'm, you know, all throughout the day, through the house. Sometimes I just have Dappy Keys or whatever on. But I have saturated the atmosphere of my home to such a degree that I know what it's doing. Yeah? It's creating an open heaven over my property and over my land. And there can be so many harsh things going on out there in the world, and I can walk in that house and immediately the peace of God comes upon me. And I believe with all my heart that in November, it was November 19th of 2020, when I was broken into, some of you were around when that happened, two men broke into my home and robbed me. One of them, I woke up and I saw him in my bedroom. I woke up to a man in my room. I just saw his silhouette, and when I sat up in the bed, he didn't see some little girl all by herself in her bed. Come on, everybody. This guy was terrified. I never seen somebody bolt so fast in my life. I had no weapon in my hand. I was alone, vulnerable, in my house, outnumbered. But worship and praise have been going on that property for years. And that house has been saturated with prayer and the atmosphere of heaven. And I'm telling you what, God did for me what my gun couldn't do for me, because I couldn't even get to it. I called my son and he's like, "Mama, get your gun. Where's your gun?" He said, "Cassie, call 911. I didn't even call 911. I called my son. I'm like, "I think he broke his neck on the way down the stairs. I heard him flop down there, bang, and I don't even know if he's still down there." I have a testimony of God protecting me in a very dangerous situation. And they were on my property for 3 hours. Camera showed they were on my property for 3 hours, and I was asleep like a baby. And I believe that when they came in, they saw the angels of the Lord. They saw how outnumbered they were, and they split. So, you know what? Give God praise. I want you to say, "I will praise God. I will saturate my home with praise. And I believe God has my back." Come on, stand up. Say, "This battle belongs to you, Lord. And when I don't know what to do, I will keep my eyes on you. I will not be silent in battle. I will praise and expect you to give me the victory in Jesus' name." Amen. You know, for all of you listening around the world, I'd want to say hi, and I love you, our podcast family. Some of you have emailed me and let me know things that are going on in your life, and I just want you to know you're such an integral part of this family here. We love the ones that are in the room and that can be here with us, and if you're ever in the area, please stop by. Let us give you a hug and love on you. But I want you to know that you're not alone, and that we love you and we're praying for you. This house is a house of praise. This house is a house of presence. And you can always text us. I hope you know that. This was not a rebuke to those that can't be here. We want to continue to uphold people that need prayer, and we will always have that prayer chain available to you. But I want to encourage you to do what I said today. Pray with your family. Pray with your spouse. Pray with your children. Create an atmosphere of praise. And by all means, if you can, get into a corporate gathering as often as you can, because it's there that you're going to get encouraged. It's there that you're going to be strengthened in the Lord. And I never want to end a service without giving someone an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. You know, he says that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, that we believe that he did all the work at the cross. He paid the price for our sin. He took our sin debt. If we believe that he was crucified, buried, and rose again on the third day to give us eternal life, if we believe that and we say yes to him, "Yes, Lord, I receive you." The Bible says our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are given eternal life. Our sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. We have become a brand new creation. Heaven is our home. All of heaven throws a party, and we always want to give people an opportunity to do that. So I want to encourage you right now to say yes to the Lord. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins and I make you the Lord of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I know I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, say this, Jesus, you are my Lord. Amen and amen. If you prayed that, write us at soulharvestwc@yahoo.com or come forward for prayer and the team would be happy to pray with you. Otherwise, I love you guys.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at soulharvestwc. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.